Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. Find the show at Locked On Astros. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
I believe they call this sweet revenge, and that's what this was. I remember last week, Kikuchi pitched 7 innings, allowed 0 runs. Well, it wasn't the same ball game today. He only lasted 1 2/3 innings, allowed 6 runs. It was a horse of a different color, so to speak, today. And like it was like he didn't have the right parts today, and it was just a whole weird, different situation. It's amazing how you could pitch so good one game, next game you're not great. And so it's like you don't have the right parts. So amazing selection, reliably low parts, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On Astros sent you by. So this was a very awesome game. It was one of those games that you enjoyed watching. I know you stayed for the entire game. So we're doing this episode a little bit late. It was early start time, 6 o'clock. And I know a lot of people said, well, it's Labor Day. Let's do this a little bit earlier game. But they decided 6 o'clock game. But that's fine. Everything worked out good for the Astros. They won 11-2. They got their 80th win on the season. So that's great. Lance McCullers got his 11th win on the season. That is his near career high. So congratulations, Lance McCullers. He still struggled a little bit with commands. 4 walks. That's something that you cannot do in a playoff game. But he was playing with a kind of a big lead the whole game. We'll talk a little bit more about Lance McCullers. But today's show is going to be sponsored by Jake Meyers. Jake Meyers, we love Jake Meyers now. He's going to be a guy that we're going to be talking about for a while on this podcast. This is a guy that a lot of people didn't know about coming into this season. Everybody's focus was like, oh, who are we going to replace George Springer with? Oh, we got Miles Straw. We got this new guy, Jose Siri. And nobody was talking about Jake Meyers. But everybody's talking about Jake Meyers now.
Yeah, man, you skipped right over Chaz McCormick like he wasn't even there.
He's somewhere.
He is. I'm just saying. So, yeah, I was having a conversation with someone on Twitter about this. And, look, I'm not trying to be a prophet here, but if I think Jake Meyers' staying power is a lot more solid, I think he's the guy that you go into the 2022 season, Eric, as possibly looking at your starting center fielder. I mean, Chaz McCormick has done a great job, and Chaz McCormick's very talented. Yeah. I know they want Pedro Leon to be the future center fielder. That's what I've heard here and there. But Jake Meyers is making a name for himself. I think the biggest knock on him is that his helmet's not staying on when he's running around the bases. You know, and if that's the biggest knock on you, but the guy out in center field, he's got an absolute arm. That ball that he hit tonight, I was actually sitting in the Crawford boxes, and hint, hint, wink, wink. When you know people, you know people. No, I'm sitting there, and that ball, I thought it was coming towards us, and it kept going. I thought it was going to break through the signs. I mean, it hit off that sign so hard, dude. It was an absolute laser tonight, watching Jake Meyers crush that ball. I mean, it's, you know, he's got power, dude. He can absolutely crush the ball. I love seeing that.
I know you might have thought it was an actual laser, and the launch angle was, according to Baseball Savant, it was only 30 degrees, and the distance was 400 feet, and the expected batting average was 570, but the exit velocity was the 12th highest or the 11th highest of the game, which was 101.1 miles per hour off the bat. I know it looked like a laser.
And no, it was a bomb. I mean, it was just, I mean, the ball just kept going. Like you thought it was going to drop, and it just kept, you know, just, but seeing him get that home run with it being a multi-run shot, right, with Altuve getting 2 hits today, with Tucker, with Gurriel, with Correa, with all these guys getting multiple hits in the game. And then at the end of the game, Eric, Marwin Gonzalez comes in, and you would have thought that this is like a first round draft pick that we've been waiting to come up. And he comes out on third and makes one hell of a stab to get a double play. And it was like the place went nuts. Let me tell you, the fans love Marwin Gonzalez. You should have heard.
Like he never left.
I know. You should have heard the screams. And guess who was in attendance tonight? Did you see on TV who was sitting behind home plate?
Yeah, Josh Reddick. Yeah.
Josh Reddick, yeah.
On TV probably before you realized what was going on.
Yeah, that was – I mean, so it was a fun, exciting game. Three games in a row that I've seen in person with the Mariners, and the Astros have put up double digits. Love it.
Right. So Carlos Correa actually had the highest exit velocity of the game, which was his double in the sixth inning, which was 113.3 miles per hour off the bat. Yordan Alvarez was the double in the second inning, was 113.2 off the bat. So, and Kyle Tucker's single was 106.4 miles per hour in the seventh inning off the bat. So the Astros had, I believe, 15 hits overall. With hard hits that were designated hard hits. 6 of them were off of Kikuchi. So he did not have great stuff.
He wasn't sharp. Yeah, it was. But, you know, here's the thing. If you look at the Astros against the Mariners in Houston, they're like the big dogs, right? But if you look at the Astros in Seattle, it's like they're the little dogs on the porch. It's really weird, the dichotomy that you have of this team and the look of this team away against Seattle and at home against Seattle.
Right. And it wasn't like looking at home, it wasn't that Kikuchi didn't have the stuff. His stuff was good. It just his location was off today.
Yeah.
He had four walks and he was just making bad pitches. And a lot of people are like, wow, we're surprised he left him in that long. He left him in for 1 2/3 innings.
Well, when they finished scoring those six runs, it felt like 60 runs. I mean, it was crazy, just this outpouring, because you didn't know after the first inning, like, okay, this is going to be a low-scoring game. Are they going to score runs? And then they just put a six spot on them. And it's like, whoa, like, where did this come from? And that's what this lineup has. It has potential to break out. And Yordan Alvarez in left field, he loves playing left field. He is comfortable playing left field. He's got a cannon of an arm. He can play defense. Did you see the quotes about him? Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, that was pretty awesome. But let's go ahead and continue talking about the offense. Jose Altuve kind of broke me. I don't know if he was in a slump. Let's just go and say he was in a slump.
He was.
So yes. He had two hits, two doubles today. He had an RBI, two walks. So it's good to see him have the two hard hit balls. Alex Bregman had two hard hit balls. He only got one hit. But it's good to see him get two hard to hit balls. Yordan Alvarez, we'll talk about him a little bit more with his defense. But after him getting hit in the knee, and for him to be not only playing in back-to-back games, but for him to be playing defensively in left field at home when he could be as a DH, that means he's A-okay. So that was pretty awesome there. And he had three hard hit balls. So he only got one hit, which was a double. Carlos Correa was 2-for-3. Yuli Gurriel was 2-for-4. Kyle Tucker was 3-for-4. Jake Myers was 2-for-5 with four RBIs. Jake Myers has had to be the player of the game, so that's why I put him on thumbnail. And he did have that 3-run homer. That was a blast. I don't want to discount it. I was talking about exit velocity. Right. It was a blast, and it would be a home run in most ballparks. But his single, I think they called it, was a bloop, and a whole bunch of fielders were trying to get it. And that Kelnick, he's such a bad center fielder, but he ran past the ball. Like it fell. And
this is their number one draft pick. This is a guy that's got a high ceiling. This is a guy that, you know, kind of like JP Crawford, one of the up and coming Seattle Mariners. And, you know, I'm sure Kelnick will mature, but yeah, he just didn't look good tonight.
I wonder if Stats Hero had Jake Myers kind of going off tonight.
You know, I don't know, but here's the thing. Do you know that 85% of people who play fantasy sports lose? It is really that surprising. I mean, the game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools, more time. You don't stand a chance. So introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name the stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. I've experienced it, Stat Hero. It's actually pretty easy to follow. You look at their lineup, you put in your lineup, and you just go square to square. You go toe to toe. You are in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. Right now, you can get 3 times back your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon.
All right, Brett, go ahead and hold up the number 3 with your fingers. All right, I'm going to hold up the number 4. Do you know what this represents? That represents how many runs the Astros scored last week in 3 games. Now let's do this. You hold up the number 1, and I'm going to hold up the number the Astros scored tonight. I can't do it. They scored 11. Isn't it amazing how the difference of one series can be?
Yeah, it's, I mean, no. And, you know, like I said, we were talking about it. We had one of these meetups, and if you guys have not been a part of the whole Astros Twitter community, there you go. The amount of people I talked to, Eric, I met some really, really fine listeners, some people that, loyal listener or so, a kid from LA moved out to Houston. We talked a lot and everybody was talking about it. Like last week they were getting crushed. This week they're crushing. And I said, yeah, last time they played here, we crushed them, you know? And I mean, they've scored double digit runs. Well, not 3 games, no, 3 of the last 4 games that they played against Seattle in Houston. This team, the sky's the limit, Eric. This team is still a top contender. This right. team is still, I think, the team to beat in the AL. Hands right. down, I know we've got our issues, but hands down, there's not a lineup that's more dangerous than ours.
Well, the Astros still have 80 and what is it, 57 record now. They now have they lead the AL West by 5.5 games over the yeah. Mariners. When did that happen? And now they have that's weird. That's just weird to hear. And
well, the last time the Mariners had a win streak, we broke it. Right. I don't know if you realize that. I mean, yeah, they won like right. 6 or 7.
So this one was a 5-game win streak, and now yeah. we broke that again. So, and the A's, the Astros lead them by 6 games. And so Lance McCullers had some things to say about after the game. So this is what he had to say. So about the lead in the AL West, he said, look, we got to keep our foot on the gas. Okay. And about his win and his 11 wins, he said, it is what it is. It doesn't change anything for me. For me, it's about give us a good chance to win. Anything working towards that AL West title and, of course, trying to win a World Series. So he's not looking at this 11th win as something that's a big deal for him. He's like, look, I'm just trying to win games right now. And Lance McCullers told Yordan Alvarez, we'll talk about this in a second, but he said, I told him, you keep playing defense like that, Poppy, and you're going to get $500 million. So let's talk like, about hold that on. Play.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, hold up, Lance. Don't give me any ideas. We still got to sign Carlos first.
Right.
That was the first thing I thought of. But, you know, go through that play, Eric.
So what happened was, I don't know who was at the plate. I can't think of who the hitter was, but the ball was hit off the wall, the Outtown scoreboard, and Alvarez was out there. And that was the first time I realized that Alvarez is actually out there. And so he looked like a left fielder out there, and he threw the ball. It took Altuve a little bit off the bag a little bit, but it was a laser beam, and Altuve was able to kind of get the tag towards the runner. The runner saw the tag was coming, so he kind of went to the outside of the bag and was trying to do a kind of a swim move type of thing mm-hmm. to try to avoid the tag. But Altuve got him before, and then he came off the bag anyway, so Altuve got him anyway. So he got him before he touched the bag, but even if he didn't, he went off the bag anyway. And that was a great move.
It was actually Ty France. It was a single that he tried to stretch into a double, okay. and and it was Alvarez to Altuve, and that that's so encouraging. And let me tell you, every time Alvarez came out to the field, all the fans were like, "Yordan," and he was waving at everybody, and you can tell like he feeds off of it. He needs that. I mean, think about that outfield we have right now. Myers, Tucker, Alvarez, not necessarily that order, but those three guys. And if right. Myers can come, I mean, Tucker and Yordan are your corner outfielders. I mean, I know Brantley, you know, he was out tonight.
You know, he's sat down every time the Astros have played Kikuchi this year.
And yeah, that's interesting. And so here's the thing.
There's reason for it. He struggled.
Here's the thing. Michael Brantley doesn't like DHing either. I don't know if you know that. So neither does Yordan. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the playoffs. The
Evan Gattis thing. Like, remember, he played so much better when he played catcher, but he was Evan Gattis. I don't think you're watching, but I know your mom listens sometimes. So, but I know he wasn't the best catcher, but he always hit better as a catcher.
Yeah. So. You get in a groove. I guess it's a good problem to have. I mean, Diaz contributed tonight. Diaz has been slumping. When this team, we were questioning their motivation. We were, this team doesn't seem to have the fire. They have fire. The fire comes from within. They don't need Dusty or an AJ or someone to fire them up. They fire themselves up. And Lance McCullers, Eric, let's talk about that second. He pitched himself into a bases loaded jam.
I saw that.
And got out of it. And that is a good thing. We need our pitchers getting in trouble and getting out of trouble, because that just makes you so much stronger as a pitcher. That Martin Maldonado gunning down the runner at second. I mean, tonight was just all around one of those games that you just like, this is one of the best games of the year, I think.
Well, I know it was six innings, but I like the fact that he stayed below that 100 pitch count, because he was going five innings and pitching, throwing 100 pitches.
You're right.
He went six innings today and went 93 pitches. So that's better than he's been doing recently. Seven strikeouts, four walks. He allowed the two earned runs, four hits. So his ERA on the season is 3.19. He is the Astros co-ace. I think the Astros have several aces. They really have. I know he's being paid to be the ace. I mean, some people would say, well, what you're paying Greinke, he's the ace, but he hasn't really pitched like the ace.
Yeah, so that maybe is a whole separate discussion. Like,
right.
What is your definition of ace? I think right now, Eric, I think for all intents and purposes, Lance McCullers is the ace of this ball club.
Yeah, for sure.
Because of the way he leads a team. I mean, he gets fired up. But he's the young.
A hot Valdez.
Well, you know, Valdez. No, but here's the thing. You've got Valdez. You've got, I mean, yeah, Greinke, but you've got Valdez. You've got Luis Garcia, who he's not an ace yet. I think he's too young to be an ace. But you have McCullers, and you have this two-headed monster. You have McCullers or Framber. They could both be number one starters.
Right. So it's kind of like having all these channels you want to watch and you just don't know which one to choose. And it's like having the right ace. And so talk to us about DirecTV.
So let me ask you this question. Does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch a game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. Listen up. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. That's right. You're not rooked into some 12, 14, 16, 30-month deal. You get rid of the clutter, get rid of the confusion, and get your TV together. DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
All right. So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about having the right parts, like the right channels. Let's talk about RockAuto.com.
Yeah. So whether you're going to Minute Maid Park or Constellation Field to watch the Skeeters or the Astros, you want to make sure that you get there all in one piece. You want to make sure that your car is in working condition. Go to RockAuto.com. With the increasing makes of models and just parts out there, it's hard to go to the chain store and find everything you need. The person behind the counter only can order the part that their computer has because it's a certain company they have a deal with. and they probably charge you different prices. They charge you more than what they charge the professional mechanic down the road. Save time and money using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes 100% more in a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. We encourage you to go look today. Find and explore their website. Use it and find the solution for your auto parts needs. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, a couple of shows ago, we talked about the curse of Abraham Toro. I want to thank Abraham Toro for today's game. He allowed that little boot he did, allowed the Astros to get on base to allow to set up the whole Jake Meyers home run. So I want to sing his praise a little bit as well.
But he had two hits today.
Yes, but
right, right. Yes,
been on base if it wasn't exactly that situation.
No, so that's true. Thank you, Abraham. Tip of the hat.
I would also like to praise for Brandon Belak. I know he hasn't had the best of season, but he came in today and did exactly what he's supposed to do. Not necessarily the four walks, Brandon Belak. You need to work on that, but he did pitch three shutout innings and he saved the bullpen. So in a 11-2 victory, you didn't have to use any other relievers. You didn't have to use any of your high leverage relievers. You didn't have to bring in Ryan Pressly. We don't know if he still has the sore arm or anything like that.
And did you know that he got a save for tonight?
Who? Yeah, Brandon Belak.
Yeah.
I was going to admit, if you pitch the final three innings game, you get the save.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, wait, he got a save. I had to look at, I forgot how, I didn't realize, you know, being there at the game and kind of everything going on, I guess I didn't realize it was the full three innings. So, but that was great. That was a great situation because see, Belak showed flashes of brilliance last year when he came in 2020, and he's got big league stuff. He's got starting pitcher potential. He's just struggled. Right. Our guys, if they're going to contribute in the playoffs, need some of these situations, low leverage, to give them their confidence back. And you can go three innings against the Mariners who have been hot because, you know, Lance McCullers can come in and shut things down. But when your guy comes in after that, we've seen the bullpen lose it, right? So that was key. They didn't have to use any other arms. They used two arms tonight. Boom. Everybody's ready to go the next day. Love seeing that.
Right. So I did see earlier, and I don't have it exactly in front of me, but I did see a note earlier that Zach Greinke is scheduled to make a bullpen pretty soon. And also he's doing better. And Taylor Jones is also doing pretty better. So they're going to so we could see them pretty soon return. And when we see these guys return, that would mean the end of likely Jose Siri, because, and maybe even who's on borrow time? Josh James, I guess, would be the guy who's on.
Probably.
Because he's on, he may be on the 40-man roster, but there's somebody else who's not on the 40-man roster. Can't think of it off the top of my head. Oh, Marvin Gonzalez is temporarily on the 40-man roster.
Right.
When he's not really there. So if they want to add 40, Marvin Gonzalez, they're going to have to make that move, like I said, and that's probably going to be Jacob Wilson or somebody else to get these guys on. But Siri is going to have to probably likely go, and he hasn't really played much, and he is what he is at this point. They really don't, especially if they're going to be playing Alvarez in left field a little bit more often, then you don't really need Jose Siri right now.
Yeah, Jose Siri, I'm assuming we'll get sent back to AAA. It doesn't seem like right now there's really a place to put him, just because this team is so compact. I mean, so packed, full of full of people, and so he'll get his time. Jose Siri, I think, will get his time when the time is right.
Yeah. So I know that we've been talking about Jake Meyers a lot, but Darren Erstad, he was a former big leaguer. He's the coach over at the University. Well, he was the head coach over at the University of Nebraska, and he said that when you have the talent and work ethic and are a competitor, it's a pretty good place to start. He was just a pleasure to be around. He turned himself into a phenomenal baseball player. And so he said that, this guy only hit 3 home runs in his last year in college. He's already hit 4 home runs as a Major League Baseball player. And he said that you've got to check some boxes and be able to play this game and play it for a long time. You've got to be mentally tough and you got to continue to work. Obviously, he has the talent to be there. I think the one thing you have to do that is love the game of baseball. And I believe he truly loves the game of baseball. That's a pretty good place to start. And obviously staying healthy. He's going to bring his lunch pail every single day. And I'd be shocked if he ever mentally takes a day off. So basically he said he's basically the hardest working kid out there. He's going to outwork you. And that's what Nick Myers is going to do.
And that's the feel I got from him when I interviewed him for the show, was just that he's a grinder. He's from Nebraska. He grew up around farms. He knows what work ethic is. He knows what working hard on the field is. And that's where he came from. That's his family heritage. And it's built into him. And I mean, the whole chiseled jaw thing is not just something that people are. And the dude is freaking, he is a rock. And he loves the game. And he talks about the game with just this tenacity that he just wants to do anything he can do to help the club win. He's humble and he's appreciative of his opportunity. And when I interviewed him, he said, I just hope that I can contribute to the big league club, you know, this year.
And he is.
I mean, he is. And so, Eric, he has now, I believe, 20 home runs total on the season if you take his AAA and, you know, his major league home runs. So, I mean,
So he had 16 in AAA?
I believe he had 16 in AAA. And so, I mean, you basically have a kid that if given a full season, now I'm kind of maybe couldn't put in the cart for the horse. I mean, if this guy's a 20 to 30 plus home run guy and he can hit for average and he's a good center fielder, you may have this like guy that came out of nowhere, this diamond in the rough. Who knows? I'm not going to chart the course for him, but the ceiling is definitely very high on this kid.
His batting average in Sugarland with Skeeters, I know it's AAA, was .343. Is he batting right now? He's batting .319.
Yeah.
So he's gone down a little bit. So this is. I don't know if he'll keep his batting average that high that long. The league's eventually going to figure him out. But I see him as maybe a .280 hitter long term, and that's still a pretty good hitter with that type of power. If he's a 15 to 18 home run hitter, maybe with some stolen bases, maybe 10 home runs a year. That's still a good center fielder if he can play that great defense. So, I mean, that's what I project him as. I mean, if he proves me wrong, great. If he's a 30 home run hitter, I really don't know what to expect from this kid. So,
well, he's got an 860 OPS, and get this. I mean, 13th round pick in 2017. He's 25 years old. The kid is solid and he's just a good kid. And I think it's great to have players competition. And you mentioned something on Twitter, dude, all those people that said, oh, we should trade Kyle Tucker. Well, why don't they trade Kyle Tucker? And you were like, don't trade Kyle Tucker. And you mentioned on Twitter how that's something you even mentioned all the way back to your Talking Strohs days.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you glad that we didn't trade Kyle Tucker? He's such a good player.
Yeah, and what is he doing? He's up to .286 right now with 882 OPS. And he's got how many RBIs? Alvarez has 90. Tucker, I believe, is second with 78.
Yeah, so, and I mean, he's got like 29 doubles on the year. I mean, just doing great things.
Yeah. So yeah, this kid is. A lot of people wanted these big names that we could have traded him for, and I think Jeff Luhnow saw potential in this kid, and he was the second overall. No, he was. What was he? I forgot when he was drafted, but there's a reason why he was drafted as high as he was. And he struggled at first, but some of these kids just take some time. And so
he was the number 5 overall pick.
Yeah, that's what five. Yeah. It was like 6th or 5th, and I couldn't remember exactly what it was. But
yes,
there's a reason why he was up there, and the Astros were patient with him, and they gave him a chance, and now we're being rewarded by him. Because, yeah, I know everybody jumped aboard the Ted Williams swing express, and he kind of stumbled a little bit. But, yeah, if you put all that pressure on him, I'm not Ted Williams.
Right, exactly.
So I tomorrow's game, it's going to be a rematch of last week. Who is it? It's going to be...
It is... I just had it pulled up. It is going to be Joko Derizzi versus... right here, hey, Logan Gilbert.
We got to stop hating on Joko Derizzi. His numbers aren't that terrible.
I'm not hating on him.
I know everybody's hating on him, but his numbers, like a lot of people think Logan Gilbert is a pretty good pitcher. And looking at Joko Derizzi's numbers, his numbers aren't that bad compared to Gilbert. I know Gilbert's a young.
You're like compared to Gilbert.
Yeah, compared to Gilbert, man, he's good. But anyway, so this is a rematch, and last time Gilbert kind of shut the door on the Astros, but that was then, this is now, so that's we'll see what happens. And so we'll have tomorrow's game is going to start a little bit later. It's going to be a 7:10 start, I believe. So yes. We'll be on tomorrow, and we do want to announce that we did have a winner for tonight's Locked on Astros tickets, and we're going to go and do Wednesdays. I didn't tell you this, but... I'm going to go ahead and do Wednesdays now too. I just went ahead and drew for Wednesdays too, and you'll like this. But so Mario, I think he does the Strohs across the.
He does Sunday Strohs with
Sunday Strohs. Okay,
with Rob Fontenot.
Okay, so but he was the random drawing I did. We had about six or seven people who entered, and so he was the random drawing. And I went ahead and did the same list I drew for Wednesday's game, and it was that Strohs girl who got the tickets for Wednesday's game.
So, okay.
All right, so if you can go ahead and afford them, and either one of them can't go, then we'll just give them to somebody else on the list. But that's all we got for this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube and listen to us on Odyssey, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Listen to the Locked On Astros podcast, and don't forget to check out the Locked On Bets podcast and Go Strohs, kick some more butt tomorrow, and let's get that magic number of 20 down to 19, 18, whatever it takes to get back to the World Series, baby, in 2021.